The horrid conditions of a Russian prison camp are burned into the mind of Michigan native Paul Whelan. Russia detained Whelan for about 5.5 years on bogus espionage charges. President Biden personally greeted Whelan when he was finally released this summer in one of the largest prisoner exchanges since the Cold War. Whelan says his frustration grew as Russia traded other Americans while he remained incarcerated, and the U.S. Attorney General argued against doing any prisoner swaps. But Whelan tells WDET's Quinn Kleinfelter he knew the U.S. was still trying to craft a deal to get him home.
I knew there were negotiations underway. I had several calls with Secretary Blinken from prison. I spoke to Ambassador Karstens on a fairly regular basis, his staff as well. We had illegal burner phones. You know, we would use cigarettes to bribe the guards and buy burner phones, and I would use these phones to call people in the governments in London and Ottawa as well. So I was fairly up to date on what was happening, not the details, but the fact that there were negotiations, there were these conversations happening. There were times when the discussions were hanging on one country responding or another country doing something. So it did take a long time, but in the end, they did get it done.
At the time when you were there, I know the conditions were not very great, and you'd had a couple of medical things you had to have taken care of. You had talked a little bit about that the consulates or whatever were bringing you Theraflu and those types of things. You had almost your own little pharmacy to try to help with people.
Yeah. So in Russian prison, there is no medical care. It's up to you as an individual to take care of yourself. Your family, friends, people like that can supply over-the-counter medications for you. So my consulates were sending that sort of thing in to me. My parents were actually ordering a lot of it on Amazon, and it would go through the diplomatic pouch in D.C. to Moscow and then from the consulates to me. Ibuprofen, acetaminophen, Theraflu, even Band-Aids, all sorts of things. At first, you know, my family sent a small amount for me, but it became apparent that as there was no medical care in the camp, that, you know, my friends in the camp, they needed the same sort of thing. So my parents just started sending more. And I did, after a while, have a bit of a pharmacy, and I was able to keep myself healthy, but also the circle around me, and then the circle around those people were able to stay in pretty good shape. It's an odd environment because it's extremely dirty. It's unsanitary. When we had water, it was cold water. It's not conducive to what we think of as proper hygiene, having clean surfaces, cleaning things. I'm sitting here next to a container of disinfecting wipes. We had nothing like that. The Russians just don't believe in those sorts of things.
And from what I understood, some of the Russian guards would say that this was kind of part of the punishment to make the conditions as horrid as possible.
Right. Since Soviet times, the Russian outlook on imprisonment is work. I was at a labor camp for the last 4 years, just like the gulags of the old days, the salt mines and factories. I was at a factory, and they want people to work. They're not providing any education. They're not improving people's skills necessarily. It's just a dirty, nasty environment.
How were you able to, or were you, able to keep your spirits up sufficiently during all that time?
You know, it's tough. At first, I think I was probably more positive just naturally. And then after a while, it became more of a chore, and I had to work on it. But from day one, I sung the four national anthems of my countries. When I got up in the morning, I would sing the national anthems. And then at the labor camp, some of my Tajik and Uzbek friends would sing theirs as well. So it was kind of comical, but we'd always say that every day is a new day. And when things weren't going right, we'd say every hour is a new hour. You know, you're kind of falling back and regrouping and restarting. I did 30 days in solitary confinement. The warden wasn't happy with me, and I wasn't happy with him. It stemmed from the fact that there's no medical care in the camps, and I was arguing with the warden about that, trying to get Band-Aids and things. So he threw me in solitary for 30 days. And when I was there, I said, okay, well, I'm here for however long. This is my home. Until I get out, this is my home. So instead of kicking the doors and trying to break windows and yelling and screaming and causing problems, I cleaned it up. I made it as best I could, a situation I could deal with, and wrote it out. Just after getting out of solitary, we were able to have that warden arrested and put in jail himself, as well as the deputy warden because of the fraud and corruption.
And you still have, at this time, contact with some of the people in the camps now, correct?
I do. Yes, I'm in contact with people from the camps as well as their families.
On the same burner phones that you used to use?
Yeah. Yeah, the corruption in Russia is just part of their society. So having burner phones, having these sorts of things available is fairly normal there. On one hand, you know, you'd have a warden putting people in solitary for disobeying the rules, but on the other hand, the deputy warden is handing out cell phones to people that can pay for them. The guards, too. One guard is selling cell phones, and another guard is running around the barracks trying to collect the phones from people, discovering their hiding places.
What have you been able to do with the people or help, or have you, people that are still in the camp?
A lot of what we discuss is world events, what's happening with the war in Ukraine, which touches on everyone's lives in the Russian prisons because the Russian army's been taking prisoners to prop up their losing venture. People speak about coming to America, coming to Canada, how they could emigrate. We practice English because life in the prison is just extremely boring.
Have you been able to help them with any pharmaceuticals, so to speak, from this side now?
Yes. Keeping the sanctions in mind, which do make things difficult, I have family and friends in other countries that are helping to send medications and things into Russia to go to my friends in the camps. That's helping, especially during this winter season, keeping them healthy.
You had said before that in the camps they would wake you up every couple hours, right? And I mean, and to try to get used to not having that happen now?
Right. So especially the last 4 years, every night the guards would come and every 2 hours they'd wake me up. They'd shine a light in my face, take my photo to prove that I hadn't escaped. The Russians said that I was high value and that I was an escape risk. The camp that I was in, I used to call it Camp Lost in the Woods because it was way out in the middle of nowhere. I mean, if I had gotten out, which it wouldn't have been hard to do, actually, I would have been in forests. There are bears and wolves and things running around. If I'd survived them, this area of the country is just all prison camps, and everyone who lives around there works in some manner for the prison service. So anybody I would have run into, you know, would have known that they were looking for an escaped prisoner. And I wouldn't have gotten very far.